Welcome back to season two of Snubs and Dubs. We've been talking about the snubs and dubs of the 87th Academy Award for Best Picture. I'm your host, Kyle Tobiasen, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jason Miller. Jason, didn't leave you behind for this episode.
Hey, I wish you did. That's cruel.
Welcome to the final bonus episode of season two. Wow.
Wow, we did it.
We're here.
I thought after Tusk, there would be a fight. I didn't think you'd hit me back with something worse.
Well, we
did this to ourselves.
We did, yes.
We did, yeah.
It is kind of your fault, actually.
Oh, fuck this, too.
Because it was your idea. But should we just hop into it?
Let's just hop into it.
Of course, you can find time codes in the show notes if you want to skip around. But I don't think there's going to be much you want to miss from this one. As tradition, or at least as much of a tradition as doing something twice can be, the last bonus episode of the season is tackling one of, if not the worst movie from the year we're covering. And so for 2014, that movie is Left Behind. Neither of us had seen it before. Had you heard of it before?
No, never. And I reflect fondly on the days of before hearing about this movie. Kyle, have you ever heard of Left Behind before?
No, and I wish I didn't have to do the exorbitant amount of research that I fell into after discovering this movie, because my God, there's a lot here.
I mean, everyone's first reaction has to be, how did they get Nick Cage?
Yeah, right.
And that I'm assuming they have dirt on him or a hostage or $20 or more.
Well, I actually have interesting facts about that later.
Oh, so I knew you
we'll
would.
We'll get to
we'll
that.
We'll park stuff. It yeah, for yeah. now.
All right. Well, there was one other movie that was falling into this spot of, quote, worst of the year. It was called Saving Christmas. That movie received a 0% critic rating on Rotten Tomatoes and a 30% audience. It was nominated in six categories for the 37th Golden Raspberry Award, so the Razzies, and won four, including Worst Picture. It also became the lowest rated film on the IMDb Bottom 100 list within 1 month of its theatrical release and is now considered one of the worst films of all time. Despite being panned by professional critics, the director is convinced that his film's low rating from IMDb users is the result of, quote, haters and, quote, pagans, and is an atheist conspiracy that was allegedly hatched on Reddit.
That's incredible. You know what? I am empowered by that level of conviction to your own horse shit. Imagine believing in anything you've ever done to that level. I couldn't. We're stuck mired in self-doubt with everything we do. Yeah. This man hasn't doubted a flake of cereal in his bowl. He's incredible. What an icon.
But the big question is, why not talk about that one? Well, it kind of came down mostly to the fact that we were recording in the middle of July.
Yep.
And also, you know, Nicolas Cage.
Big pull.
That on paper, this movie is equally bad. So,
yeah.
But these two films are actually linked, if you believe it or not. Left Behind is actually a remake and based on a book. The star of Saving Christmas, Kirk Cameron, also starred in the 2000s Left Behind, the movie, which, wouldn't you know it, was also a flop, but it somehow has a better 16% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes and a box office return of $4.2 million. On a budget of $4 million.
It made $200,000. That's a lot of work to make $200,000.
Somehow, there were two sequels.
Oh,
Left Behind 2, Tribulation Force, and Left
Behind... Tribulation Force? That sounds like a Power Rangers division.
And Left Behind World at War. Both were starring Kirk Cameron. However, both were direct-to-DVD sequels.
Jesus. Norma of the North had more sequential movies hit theaters than that series.
Well, should we get into Left Behind?
I guess so.
All right.
We started.
If you were interested in Left Behind, I've included links to the physical media related to it in the show notes.
Also, get help.
Yeah, it might make a good gag gift. If you buy through that link, it'll help out our show. Or if you have any other Amazon shopping to do, follow the general link and maybe buy a better movie in the process.
Just donate. If you have money laying around to buy this movie, donate it. You don't deserve it. Yeah.
a reminder that this is going to be a spoiler-filled conversation. So if you care, go watch it, but please don't. This is all you need.
Go talk to a loved one. Go play soccer with some local school kids. Go do clean up some litter. Do better.
Yeah. Okay. But without further ado, let's get into it. Left Behind is directed by Vic Armstrong. Armstrong was a stunt double for Harrison Ford in the first three Indiana Jones movies, also a stunt double for Timothy Dalton for Flash Gordon, George Lazenby for Bond in On Her Majesty's Secret Service, and for Christopher Reeve in Superman 1 and Superman 2.
Wow, I bet that makes a really good director.
Right? So he's an esteemed stuntman, but he also made this movie. So,
Well, if I remember correctly, John Wick was made by former stuntmen, so this has to be about the same caliber.
It is written by Paul Lalonde and John Pettis, based on Left Behind by Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins. So this baffled me.
Yeah.
There are actually 16 novels in the Left Behind series.
What?
7 spin-off books.
What? Like, no, wait. Spin-off of the main? Not, yes. Okay.
And a kids series called Left Behind the Kids. Sounds like my dad.
Holy shit, Kyle.
The kids series includes 40 novellas about teenagers, and in 2016 actually had its own film.
No.
Vanished, Left Behind, Next Generation.
That's so long.
Several books in this series were bestsellers, and over 65 million copies have been sold in various languages.
Being a bestseller no longer means anything. There's no valor behind that now. Whatever that was, did it multiple times. Multiple.
Yeah. But wait, there's more. In this series that you've never heard of, as I'll kind of wrap it up here, summarize, there are 16 main novels, 7 spin-off novels, 40 teen-based novellas, 4 video games, 2 graphic novels, a musical collection album inspired by the series, and 4 soon to be 5 movies.
No.
As of November of 2021, Paul Lalonde announced the beginning of production on Left Behind, Rise of the Antichrist, with Kevin Sorbo directing and replacing Nicolas Cage as Rayford Steele.
Oh, they couldn't get... Wait, is this a movie that couldn't get Nick Cage?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
This film is apparently set 6 months after the events of the 2014 film and is an adaptation of the third book, Nikolai, The Rise of the Antichrist.
And they're like, they couldn't get Nicolas Cage back when the guy's name is Nikolai. Imagine making something that Nick Cage said no to.
Oh, yeah.
That's incredible. That's groundbreaking. This is straight from hell.
Speaking of, it stars Nicolas Cage as Ray Steele. That's quite a name.
That is a hell of a name.
Chad Michael Murray as Cameron Buck Williams. Cassie Thompson as Chloe Steele. Nikki Whelan as Hattie Durham. Jordan Sparks as Shasta. I think Shasta Carvel.
It doesn't
and
matter.
Leah Thompson as Irene Steele. It has a runtime of 110 minutes and a release on October 3rd, 2014. Jason. What did you think of Left Behind?
I loved it. Oh my God. It is such a good movie. I will never watch anything that can peak cinema to that level ever again. Kyle, what did you think of the Lord and Savior of movies?
Holy fuck.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
What gets me is like, obviously, this movie is about like a rapture.
Yes.
But it takes half an hour to get to the rapture.
And then it just kind of happens.
Yeah.
Like there's no impact. Dude. No. It's just like 1 second she's hugging her brother. Then it's just a sweater. It's just so weird. Did they leave their underwear behind?
Yes. They left everything behind.
That's weird. They're just naked.
They're all naked.
They're all just naked.
Yep. Also, who is this movie for?
Christians, but like aggressive Christians.
Because like every Christian character in this movie seems like a total fucking nutcase.
Yep.
Like the mom, that one random woman that was like harassing the famous journalist. Like all of them were like Christian to a point of being actually annoying.
Yeah, but you have to get in the mindset of the person this movie is made for, where they're so militantly Christian that when they heard those other women in the movie speak about religion, they're like, yes, preach, sister, amen. Yeah. That's the level. This is advanced levels of Christian dumb that this was made for.
Yeah, because like, is it for the Christians that think that this is going to happen? And then they're like, oh, yeah, this is what's going to happen when we all leave you in the dust because we believed more.
It's absolutely a self-jerk-off fest where they're like, well, you know, we can't prove that any of this is going to happen. But if we made a movie where it did, oh, boy, did we tell you. Oh, are we ever vindicated in this imaginary film that we made? It's all coming together the big screen.
All right. Well, do you want to read through a quick plot so that our listeners can suffer through in audio form what this movie did to us?
It's quick. Chloe Steele has flown home from college to New York to surprise her father, pilot Rayford Steele. I love that Ray isn't short for Raymond. Like usual, it's Rayford. Rayford. For his birthday. However, her mother, Irene, informs her that her father cannot make it. While at the airport waiting for him, Chloe meets investigative reporter Cameron Buck Williams. Rayford shows up on his way to a flight and apologizes to Chloe for missing his birthday party, insisting he was called in to pilot a flight to London at the last minute. He also reassures Chloe that things are fine between himself and his wife, who recently had become a proselytizing Christian. Chloe suspects things are not fine between her parents as she had seen him flirting with flight attendant Hattie Durham and notices he's removed his wedding ring. At home, Chloe brushes off another of her mother's preachings and takes her brother to the mall. As she hugs him, he vanishes into thin air, leaving his clothes behind. Chloe sees television reports of children and some adults disappearing as worldwide panic sets in. On Rayford's flight, the same strange event has occurred. The remaining passengers panic and demand answers, but Rayford has difficulty getting radio or satellite phone contact with anyone on the ground. Soon, a pilotless jet approaches directly into their flight path, resulting in a mid-air collision that damages Rayford's fuel line. He decides his only option is to return to New York and hope his fuel holds out. On the ground, Chloe hears her father's Mayday call on her cell phone and assumes his plane has crashed. She later finds her mother's jewelry left behind in the still-running shower, as she has also disappeared. Chloe makes her way to her mother's church, where family pastor Bruce Barnes explains that God has taken his believers to heaven and the rest have to face the end of days. Chloe climbs to the top of a bridge, intending to commit suicide, when she gets a call from Buck, who is in the cockpit with Rayford. Rayford explains to Chloe that all the New York area airports are closed and the streets are full, and he is low on fuel and has nowhere to land. Chloe finds an abandoned truck and uses it to clear away the equipment from a road under construction in order to create a makeshift runway. She uses her compass app and tells Rayford the coordinates of the landing site. Rayford is able to glide to a rough landing, saving the passengers, who leave the plane only to see the world aflame. Buck mentions that it looks like the end of days, while Chloe informs him that it is just the beginning.
Wow.
That is left behind. God damn it. There's, going through this plot made me realize that there is, like, in this 100 minutes, 94 minutes of bullshit.
Yep.
Not much happens.
No, really
not.
It's
all bad.
Chloe's whole plot, useless.
Yeah. Useless. She doesn't do, she wandered from location to location being persecuted. So people watching home and like, oh, yes, this little deviant. This non-believer, I'll watch her suffer not having a brother anymore.
Yeah.
Not having kids running around.
Yeah. Because all children were taken.
Yeah.
Because all children.
Obviously.
No child in the world is an asshole. None at all.
What's the age cutoff?
That's a good question.
I'm so curious.
I was thinking about that too. I have a theory that it was probably puberty.
Probably.
Because if you start to get, you know, lusty thoughts, especially if you do the dirty deed to yourself, you know, not only are you going to go blind, but you're also going to not be raptured. So
the cutoff absolutely is the first time you see a naked person or have touched yourself. That is when you are going to hell.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. But I don't get why she was so confused as to where he was. Obviously she's confused about where she was, but why was she looking in hospitals? Did she think she, like, blacked out for a long period of time? His clothes were in your hand.
Yeah.
Everyone else had the same thing happen where clothes were on the floor. People's clothes were flying from the fucking rafters, apparently. Yeah. But then you were like, oh, he must be in the hospital.
Why would he be in the hospital?
Did he leave the mall?
Did you put him there? Like, what did you do?
Did he just leave the mall naked and go to the hospital?
Uh-huh.
And then she breaks into a hospital?
Yeah. Did she expect to just find him? Like, walk around and know what room he's in? She doesn't even know where he is.
Yeah. My naked 10-year-old brother is around here somewhere, please. Can
you? He has to be running around naked.
Yeah, I think that you're right. It was entirely to show the world in chaos because apparently when all Christians disappear, the world just is left with shitty people who are immediately going to rob you, break into stores, run you over with your fucking car, steal your backpack on a mini scooter, just all the just crappy stuff that non-Christians do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that necessarily would happen.
God, no. Okay. I will say that clearly. This is the worldview of everyone involved in making the movie and the people who liked it. Yeah. Not necessarily everyone around the world who has their own religious beliefs, but to the people who saw this movie and agreed with this worldview, what's going on? What's going on in there? How come when people disappear, the first thought's looting and rioting?
Yeah.
There were a couple moments in this movie where I had to take a laugh break. One was when I Snapchatted a picture of this to you. It's when Chloe leaves the mall and there's this woman driving and she gets stuck in traffic and she yells, stop!
Like she was getting tickled. That fucking extra was absolutely giving her up.
She sent
She's
it.
Like, stop! Stop!
I lost my shit watching that. But the other impressive kind of political take from this is who the creators of this movie say gets into heaven.
Yeah.
If you have dwarfism, you go to hell. Sorry. If you're Muslim, you're back to the wrong guy, I guess.
That was the thing that got me. Like, that was like, oh, shit. Like, they're just saying that as if you have to be Christian. It's not even about being a good person.
No. And like, this guy seemed like a good person. That was kind of expressly in the movie that he's a good person. He helps others.
Yeah.
He comforts the old grandma who has done something wrong because her husband made it and she didn't. She didn't make the cut. So like, he's clearly a good person. He prays when things start going bad. That was a clear cut. If you are Muslim, you don't make it to heaven call that this movie made.
Yeah. I thought that the first shot of the person with dwarfism, when he snarls at the child, I thought they were trying to say like he was a racist.
Oh, you know, no, he was a gambler. I forgot about that. He was a gambler. Yeah. What did that mom do? Because she didn't make the... I spent a lot of the movie wondering why people didn't make the cut.
That was the thing.
Because it at least has an internal logic. Mm-hmm. Rayford was a adulterer. The flight attendant, what did she do?
I don't know.
She didn't know he was married.
Yeah.
That's expressed in there.
Yeah.
It's also expressed that they never slept together.
Yes.
So she just lusted for a guy who lied to her and now she's going to hell?
Yeah.
Rough.
I think the rules are like you have to be a devout Christian. Like,
yeah.
And like even when they go to the minister and he's like, I did this, but I didn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore I wasn't taken.
Yeah.
Which also, weird job choice if you don't believe it.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
I feel like it was an intentional choice that he was black. This movie screams racism left, right, and center. Yeah. The only people shown going up are all white.
Well, the big guy that was next to Buck at the start, he goes.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But he's a funny guy.
Yeah.
He's being brought in there because he's got some jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. I will give the movie that.
Yeah.
One black man is able to make the cut to heaven expressly shown in the movie.
But with those rules, why were so many people taken?
I feel like the internal logic of the people making this movie believe that many people in the world at large are devout Christians.
Yeah.
When like, no, are you joking? Are you kidding me? No, of course not. That's not how that works.
And like the end of the world is apparently there. Like the city is burning down at the end.
Yeah. Well, the rioting has got, they've been alone for like 8 hours, Kyle. Everyone's been murdered already by the expedience of people committing crimes because a couple people have left. This is like, do these people, when the teacher walks out of the room, just start throwing knives? Like, what do they expect Law and Order to be like? Unbelievable. Yeah.
And also, like, all communications shut down. Or, like, all the people that were running the air traffic control devote Christians.
Yep.
Were all the people running the world's telecommunications devote Christians? Because that cell service was, what the fuck, spotty. Yeah. Like, so much just in and out.
I will say, we didn't even have the rapture in Canada and we lost a third of the country cell service today. Rogers, shut up. There's a lot of questions to be asked.
Yes.
And I have a big one that plagued me all movie long. So, in rerouting what happened with Rayford Steele, he flies from New York to London, barely makes it over the seaboard because he has enough time to turn around, but it's night. But think of the Chloe things happening simultaneously, middle of the day.
Yeah.
But 2 hours away, middle of the night. Those are very quick time zone changes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's just like bad filmmaking.
Bad filmmaking. Like, that's just lazy too. I don't know why. It didn't need to be night, but it just is.
Yeah. And well, like, there was a fact that I didn't write down, but made a lot of sense to me, was that they had Nick Cage for 10 days.
Yes.
He got paid $3 million for 10 days. But it shows that they only had him for 10 days.
Because
he's in the plane and then in the airport.
Yeah.
And then there's the one scene of them on the landing pad.
Yep.
And that is all they needed from him.
Yep.
And that's like, you can really see how much they got done with him in 10 days because the rest of it is just Chloe running off on her own or the random people in the plane that don't have to do with Nick Cage. So it's weird that your main character is like not even
clearly
that
give much. This little shit about what you're making.
Yeah.
Also, so there is a an airplane collision in here.
Yeah.
Why? My brother, go down. Why did you? It's harder to go up.
Yeah.
Use gravity.
Yeah.
Angle down a little bit. Because they, I guess, no, this is before they take any damage to the airplane. You have full functionality.
Yeah.
And this scene really angered me because Nick Cage turns the plane around, right?
Yeah.
And starts flying back and he crosses paths with another airplane. And then he has the audacity to get on the radio and say, you're on my flight path, move. You turned around.
Yeah.
You yui'd when you shouldn't have. Also, at the point where you're radioing him, go down. I don't like Nick Cage. I'm never letting you fly a plane again. You're terrible at this.
Well, there's a lot of facts that were about just how bad they represented pilots. So we'll get to that.
Well, they made them Nick Cage.
Do you have any other points or do you want to get into reviews and stuff?
There's so much I'm mad about. Well, I'll sprinkle throughout.
Okay.
We can move on.
All right. So do you kind of know what the review score was here?
It's got to be like zero for critics. No, I think I'd know if it was zero. It's probably like a one. It's probably like a one for critics and like an 11 for audiences or something dumb like that.
It was actually a zero for critics.
Okay, good.
And somehow it actually was worse than Saving Christmas in the audience score. It has a 4% audience score.
Dang. We're in milk territories. You should not have anything that you create get rated in the category of like a milk that exists. Unless you're half and half. I get it. We've all given a half and half effort from time to time.
It has an IMDb of 3.1 and a Metacritic of 12.
Both too high. I'm actually surprised it was able to pull those off.
Don't let that fool you, though. This film was praised by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins, the original authors of the Left Behind series. Neither liked the 2000 Kirk Cameron version, and LaHaye even filed suit against it for breach of contract.
Wait, Kyle, how's that guy's last name spelled?
LaHaye.
That's Leahy.
Leahy?
That's Leahy, yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Leahy. I mean, I think it is a absolute indictment on your product that the authors of that book liked it. Burnell down.
And what was weird to me was, as far as my understanding of the book goes, this was only like a third of the book.
Oh,
and I kind of, because the full movie of the 2000s one is available on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of clicked through it just to see what was going on. And like, it seemed to be better paced.
Wow.
As far as I could tell from just clicking through.
Now, granted, you can't get worse paced. So
true. But they included more elements than just the plane. Like, this movie is essentially about Nick Cage landing a plane. That's all it is. Whereas the other movie is about way more, because they go into like the actual reason that this is happening, Antichrist, blah, 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 blah. And they talk about it more. Whereas like this is the entire plane piece. That's all it is. And Chloe doing some shit. Whereas it seems like Chloe wasn't as big of a character in the older movie and probably not in the book as well. Because like I think this is only covering like a third of the book.
Yeah. Also, Chloe's boring as hell. She's so plain. I just don't care about her.
All right. Well, this was some quotes here. After watching an early screening of the film, Leahy said, quote, "It is the best movie I have ever seen on the Rapture."
Okay. Well, when you go that specific, and again, this is a pre-Thanos world.
Yes.
So better quality products have not been attempted yet.
Well, Jenkins said, quote, "I believe it does justice to the novel and will renew interest in the entire series."
How could you be so hard on yourself by saying this movie did something that you created justice?
When asked if it was good, Jenkins said, "It's better than good."
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
No.
Well, on a budget of $16 million.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It can't have made money. There's no way. I'm going to say it got $8 million back.
It made $20.7 million worldwide. So it only made like $4.5 million, placing it at 170th for the 2014 box office, which I will add is good enough to beat Foxcatcher, PTA's Inherent Vice, and of course, bonus episode number one's Frank.
Okay. Also, it's Tusk.
Oh, and Tusk, too.
Yeah. Because that was bonus episode number one. True. Yeah. That's a crime against so many people. That's sin. God, I can't believe that this made money. Because you know what that does? That rewards people who should not have been rewarded for whatever this was.
Yeah. All right. Do you have a score for it?
No.
Yeah, no,
I don't want to. I'm not going to validate this with a score like I would give movies.
Okay. I also wrote the question, would you ever rewatch? But I don't think that's a question I need an answer to.
No.
Would you watch the sequel?
In, I would. Because I'm so curious. I would. Would you watch the sequel?
I think we should watch the sequel.
I think we should watch the sequel. We also need to watch the rest of the movies made in the Tusk universe. Oh my God.
True. Yeah, right.
Yeah. We got to follow up on our bonus material.
All right. I tasked you with getting some fun Letterboxd reviews. Yep. I was certain that there would be some comedy in this one. Did you find some quality?
I found things. There was some earnest love for the movie. The problem is, it's so hard to dunk on this.
Yeah.
Because you can't dunk as good as the movie dunked on itself by existing. Like, it's hard to come up with appropriately powerful insults.
Right.
So this is just kind of Letterboxd reviews that made me feel something.
Okay.
First of all, Robin, 3 stars. Really unrealistic that dogs don't go to heaven. Two stars off. That's a weird call.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, I should add, this has a 1.2 on Letterboxd.
All right. A.S. No rating. Strangely erotic. If you found any eroticism, yeah, it is strange.
There's nothing hot about this.
I mean, okay. Hattie's got some steam.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The love interest, kind of. Not really love interest, but kind of. Yeah. But it's also, she talks to Nick Cage and is upset most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing here. Feck. 2 stars. Like Flight, but their only destination is the fiery pits of hell. I thought that was good.
Oh, God.
Now, like, sorting by review activity, normally the golden standard, meant nothing here.
Hmm.
So I dug through. I've probably read 98% of all reviews ever given on this movie because I wanted to go digging. So these were other reviews. MV McKenzie, 0.5 stars. The tone of this movie is perfectly encapsulated in the moment when a flight attendant speaks into the wrong end of a phone.
I saw that. That's so fucking funny. Oh my God.
Again, no one gave a shit. Okay. Mr. Me, 5 stars. I enjoyed this film. The end is near. Posted July 21st, 2015. Oh my God. You might want to recap and recalculate the end times, my guy.
Oh my God.
We were not close in 2015. N. Horgan, 5 stars. Best movie I've seen since last night. I don't want to go to work. And then it's ended with a cry emoji.
Oh my God.
Okay, this is my favorite one. Tom Spearing, 0.5 stars. According to Rotten Tomatoes, the only critic to have given this a positive review was Deanna Sanger at Review Express. Her review has since disappeared without a trace. She was clearly a believer. The rest of us heathens have been all left behind, and this film is our punishment.
Oh my God. I like that
someone dug in to find where this got a review from. Oh, but that was my romp through Letterboxd that took my entire lunch period today when I was reading through stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah, I managed to catch that one that was like, I didn't need to watch this movie to know that Nick Cage wasn't a Christian. Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. It's fun watching a movie where you have paid your star so much money and they actively don't want to be here and are fighting making this movie. Like, I'm not surprised the other movie could have more scenes in it because they had an actor who wanted to be there.
Yeah.
It makes a pretty big difference.
All right. Awards. So obviously it didn't get any real awards.
Real awards, no. Did it get some weird religious ones?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. It was the nominee for the GMA, which is the Gospel Music Association's Dove Award for Most Inspirational Film of the Year. Oh,
God. Is it inspirational?
It lost to Mom's Night Out. Which has a 20% Rotten Tomatoes critic score.
How do you take your movie and yourself seriously after that? That's the moment where you burn it all down. Even the people so deep in your camp that they have probably seen this multiple times don't want to give it an award.
Oh my God. How inspiring that some moms can have a night out.
You know what? Moms deserve one night out as long as all responsibilities have been taken care of once a month max.
As for the Bad Movie Awards, it was nominated for 3 Razzies, Worst Picture, Worst Actor, Nicolas Cage, and Worst Screenplay. It lost all of them to Saving Christmas. Strangely, it wasn't nominated for Worst Remake, Ripoff, or Sequel. And I think that just has to do with the fact that no one knows this is a franchise.
No one was willing to look into this. God, yeah. No.
Because the ones that were in there, I was like, well, I haven't heard any of these either, but this should be known, right? Like, this is a $65 million best-selling whatever, and I don't know, how do people not know about this?
I feel better knowing that people didn't bother looking.
Yeah.
They saved themselves time. Whatever they did was a better use of their own energy than looking up to see that this was based on something. I applaud them at the Razzies.
All right, interesting facts.
I'm terrified.
All right, so you wondered why Nicolas Cage took this role.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Cage's brother, Mark, who is a priest, is a big fan of the novel and asked Nick Cage to star in the movie as a favor to him.
Oh,
I think this was also a favor to himself, though.
That's a lot of money.
As this was within that period of time where Nick Cage was taking any role he could to pay off a multi-million dollar debt.
Yep.
So he has since cleared that debt. He's fine now. He's past it. Mm-hmm. But this was in that period, well trenched into that. So that might explain it.
There is no one in this world who could request a favor of that size from me. No one has that power.
Oh my God. All right. Because of the general critical panning and the box office failure this movie was, the producers decided to finance the sequel in an Indiegogo campaign titled simply as Help Us Make Left Behind 2. The campaign received $80,699 US dollars out of the $500,000 asked.
Oh no.
Somehow, despite this, as we mentioned, production has already happened on the sequel, and it is expected to come out in October of this year, 2022.
You would think that a religion based around reading signs from God would see everyone hates your movie. You made very little money on this.
Yep.
You tried to fundraise this and couldn't, yet you kept trying to make it anyways. At some point, my guys, turn around. You've been politely, we ask you to.
Oh my. Yeah, no, definitely.
God.
So I think there was an angry pilot who watched this and went ham into IMDb.
Good.
Because this movie apparently did no research into actual pilots. Here is a bunch of errors that were kindly pointed out on IMDb. When the passengers begin to evacuate the aircraft down the emergency slide, the flight attendant says to the approaching passengers, quote, do it one at a time. This is completely against the evacuation procedure and training. Flight attendants will move passengers out as rapidly as they can, get them through the door, literally pushing them out if they need to be. So the guy that got kicked down the slide, that was actually what you're probably supposed to do.
Yep.
Airbus demonstrated this procedure by evacuating 873 seated and belted passengers and crew in only 78 seconds.
Dang.
You could not possibly begin to do that by doing that one at a time. So,
no.
And that's just the first one.
I imagine there's many because there was shit that even I was like, that can't be right.
Pilots never wear their jackets and blazers during the flight as they can be restrictive when reaching the overhead panel, etc., as well as being generally uncomfortable for sitting for long periods of time.
Okay, didn't expect that one.
Yep. When Captain Seal parks his car at the crew parking lot and meets up with his girlfriend, his fling, she has her standard crew luggage, but he does not. As an airline captain, not only would he have to have a standard roll aboard bag, he would also have to have a pilot's chart case with all his maps, approach plates, and directories as required. In other words, two pieces of luggage at least. Surely he wasn't going to the U2 concert in London in his pilot's uniform.
Oh, that's good.
The pilot does not use standard protocol on the radio for declaring an emergency. He only says Mayday twice and one point and once the second time instead of the required three times. Also, in an emergency, he would not fly the plane 3 hours back to JFK, but land at the nearest available airport, which in this case would be Gander, Newfoundland, Canada.
That makes sense. There's no way turning around was the best route.
Right? Yeah, no. No pilot would ever leave the flight deck with no one at the controls to speak to passengers, even under the most dire of circumstances. And lastly, when Captain Steele is approaching the mid-air collision, the plane issues a TCAS, Traffic Collision Avoidance System alert. The captain then tries to contact the other pilot. In real life, the TCAS already tells both pilots what action to take, such as dive or climb. Due to the very high closing speeds of approaching aircraft, there was no time to contact the other aircraft. It is akin to calling the car ahead of you on the highway to avoid a collision. If you obeyed the TCAS, he would have not collided with the other plane.
Oh my God. Was that it for
that? That was all the errors.
How did he miss the fact that when the oxygen masks deployed,
you're supposed to do it to yourself first before you do
yourself before others. And like, Hattie didn't give a shit. Didn't even care that Buck did the old woman's before his own.
Yeah.
Putting his life at risk. Unbelievable.
Nah, he's a hotshot journalist. You know, he's
busy journaling. Yeah. Also, it would make a lot of sense that you can do an emergency landing in Canada because everyone knows during the rapture, no Canadian's going to heaven. No, we're going to hell. We're getting left behind.
Oh, no. This didn't come up, but the author, Tim Francis Leahy, whatever. He was a shit dude. He was an American Baptist evangelical Christian minister and the founder of the Council for National Policy, a right-wing conservative Christian advocacy group. Leahy was a vociferous anti-homosexual, a harsh critic of Roman Catholicism, and a strong believer of the Illuminati global conspiracy theory.
No, I want his movie on the Illuminati. That's the one that we give him millions of crowdfunding for. I want to see his take on the Illuminati.
That I just read was not a fact on IMDb. That is his intro on his Wikipedia page.
No!
That's what they start with. They mentioned that he's an author or whatever, but he wrote a lot of books. But yeah, anti-homosexual is literally in like the first two sentences.
He probably has his own Boy Scout Club badge version of that he puts in all of his blazers. What a maroon.
Yeah.
I hate this guy.
Somehow people are still making movies of his books and spinoffs and weird shit.
You know what? I don't care how you pronounce his last name.
I don't care either.
Yeah. No, Lahai, fuck that guy. He sucks.
Well, he's dead now, so.
Good. Couldn't come fast enough. I just wish that he had stuck around long enough to see his work be treated even worse than it is. I hope that when he died, he has to watch these movies.
Well, he saw this one.
Damn it.
But, oh, well. Yeah. Anyways, any final thoughts?
There's one final thought that I have. When the plane crashes and Hattie, the flight attendant, has to get people out of the plane, the first thing she says is, "Everyone get up and make your own way out." That is what I would recommend to everyone, even coming close to this movie. Get up and make your own way out. That's not what a flight attendant would say. That makes no sense.
No.
But it is a good moral to come in contact with any of the 3,000 pieces of literature and movies that exist from this series. If you see it, get up and make your own way out.
Oh, wow.
Kyle, do you have any final thoughts?
There was no Ed and Neighbor Girl burp and fart in this one, so
it's just worse. Ed was a good time compared to this by a lot.
All right. Well, I want to thank you all for listening to the final bonus episode of season 2. As always, you can find us everywhere on social media at Snubs and Dubs. That's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Letterboxd, etc. We're also on Good Pod, so make sure to check us out there and join our official Discord. We'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on Left Behind if you somehow watched it or on this episode. So please send us a tweet or a message with a question, recommendation, or anything else. I'm also at Kyle Tobiason on Twitter, and Jason is at Windy_Mills. Of course, all of those links will be in the show notes. Make sure to leave a 5-star review, share the show to everyone you know, and check back on Monday for the season 2 finale.
Ba-da-ba-ba.
It's been an awesome season, so you definitely won't want to miss that. But thanks for listening. That's a wrap. Bye.
I'm so sorry for everything.